We're at the third of our Lent sessions, and it's Thanksgiving in prayer. And as we know, the whole Lent sessions have been about prayer. And we've had the first one, relational, second one, situational, and tonight, Thanksgiving in prayer. Just some notes that Debbie put together, and that was at where it says, a church leader once asked why most adult prayers begin with please, and most children's prayers begin with thank you. And a bit of a teaser there. So I think we can ask please, and certainly we can thank the Lord. I'm just going to start with Psalm 95, and many of the Psalms do start with praise.
Heavenly Father, as we are here tonight, we just would think first and foremost of those who need your healing touch. Think of Graham's and Julie's grandson. We pray for Serena and all the family, that, Lord, you will bless them. And, Lord, we just pray, we know that Michelle's waiting for an ambulance now. We also pray that you be with her. But, Lord, tonight, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you're the Lord of our salvation. We thank you for the gift of eternal life. And Lord, we thank you for your word. And thank you that we can look at it, get excited about it. And we can get excited so much that we can praise you in songs of worship. And now, Lord, we just pray that you would be with us and give us understanding of these scriptures and help them to become a part of us, a living part, we pray, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Rodney. So, Luke chapter 2, verses 41 to the end. So, if we're happy and we're acceptance with today, whatever that is, that will be a basis for our thanksgiving to God. Turn it around, if we're not accept, we're going to be complaining and we're not going to be thanksgiving. And that is a principle. And, you know, that thought of accepting, whatever it might be, and that's going to be peculiar and different for all of us, but to accept our position. Jesus accepted his mission. He, as we're in Lent and going to the cross, not my will, but your will. In that acceptance is the thanksgiving. And that is not easy. But if we don't do that, we'll be complaining. And in our complaints, we won't be thanksgiving, and that will challenge our prayer life. Jesus had that model at a very young 12-year-old. He accepted his mission, and I'm sure in that he was giving and would have given thanks, however that was to be in the days to come.
So we continue on the theme of prayer as thanksgiving, and the next scripture we're going to look at brings up the point that Graham has led us into, because it's the scripture where Jesus says, yet not my will, but yours be done. And as Graham said, thy will be done is a term and a form of thanksgiving. So we're looking at Luke chapter 22, starting to read at verse 39. So here Jesus praying earnestly to the Father, and the disciples are there with him. The disciples, though, at this point, still were not sure of the destiny of Jesus, but of course he did. And he knew that he was sending his early life into God's hands, and that God's will would be done for the good of all of us. And the disciples were confused. They weren't still clear of what was going on. He was clear. They had to stay alive as they had to continue his mission. And he says when he goes away to pray to the disciples, pray that you too may not come to the time of trial. Now the time of trial, when you read the same story in the book of Mark, it says in the typescript at the bottom, trial meant you might not come into the time of temptation. Is that what Jesus was actually saying to the disciples? Or is it saying that they too may not in their life actually end up in the same situation of Jesus. Because Jesus knew then, of course, that he was going to trial. He would be tried in the kangaroo court and executed. Perhaps he was telling the disciples, pray too, that maybe you won't have to come into a time of trial. We, of course, have the knowledge that a lot of those disciples actually did. Because for the majority of them, their lives ended. Their deaths as well. But a lot of them went into false trials and were accused of things and were eventually executed. Or was Jesus even referring to the trial at the very end of time? We don't know, but he was telling us something and telling them something. Pray, pray that you too do not come to the time of trial. There he was, praying so intently, the sweat was dripping from him like great drops of blood. It's quite an intense thought, that, isn't it, if you think about it. And there were the disciples, supposedly praying too, but of course we know they were asleep. Why did they go to sleep? It was saying here, maybe they were tired, maybe they were stressed, maybe they were confused, or perhaps even hiding. Some people, when they don't want to face something, will often disappear under the covers, hiding under the duvet. They didn't have duvets in those days, of course, but... But maybe the disciples were actually hiding from the truth, and that's why they were sleeping. We don't really know. Can you imagine where they were? They said they're on the Mount of Olives. It was probably darkness. It was probably going quite cold. It wouldn't exactly induce sleep, would it? Those type of circumstances. So something else was leading them to sleep. And Jesus woke them. And in some of the other stories in the Gospel readings, it happens three times that he wakes them up. Three, of course, being one of those important Trinity numbers that we often hear about in the Bible. And there he was, waking them up, knowing that they couldn't be with him much longer, and they certainly weren't with him at this time. But he was talking to God, and God, we hear in this version of the story, sent an angel to be with him, an angel to be by his side, to actually that journey with him. And Jesus knew at that time he could put his earthly life into God's hand, and God's will would be done. And that angel came to be with him. It can happen to us as well when we are praying. All sorts of angels can come and walk with us. They may not just be spiritual angels, but actually other people who come to us in the form of angels. There's a great poem that's called We Walk With Angels Every Day, and about meeting angels all and often in your own daily and personal life. I'm sure all of us have perhaps encountered an angel, even today. So there is thanksgiving for all of us. And would we be like Jesus? We all say when we pray the Lord's Prayer, Thy will be done. But sometimes, maybe if we think about it, do we always mean it? You know, Jesus was there. He knew he was going to be crucified. He knew he was going to die. And he handed over to God and said, Thy will be done. Would we be that brave? Even though we say the words sometimes, maybe, we don't quite mean it. But we do have to accept lots of things. And if we can give it to God, that angel too will come and walk beside us. And we should thank God for all of those angels every day that are always there walking alongside us. So prayer is certainly time of thanksgiving.
I want to look at Luke chapter 24, but beginning verse 28. This is to the resurrection, where the disciples are confused about what's going on, and two people from Jerusalem, or a couple of people, are just walking back to the village of Emmaus, and unbeknown to them, Jesus comes and walks with them, and they do not recognize him. It's a wonderful part, what we learn about this, and thanksgiving is the key that opens so much. Giving thanks takes our mind off the whole situation around us. And giving thanks uplifts us and takes us to a place where God wants to reveal himself to us. And so they've got this great burden that Jesus has died. And the future, it looked bleak. And then as Jesus was coming dark and he was going to walk on, and they invite him into their home for the night. And it's interesting that Jesus waits for the invitation from us personally before he comes into our home, our lives. And so they still don't recognize it's Jesus. But then it comes to Jesus blessing the bread. Now it's interesting, he took the bread. I don't think he was invited to. He might have invited, but he took the bread because it was like saying, you're not seeing me for who I am. I've spoken to you, I've shared with you, should not yours be opened? But then it comes to the point of thanksgiving, the blessing. In the thanksgiving, their eyes were opened. And all of a sudden, you can see that it's in giving thanks that their eyes are open. And I suppose what you've got to imagine, he takes the bread, he offers it, gives thanks, and then starts to share. Now, all their eyes are on Jesus and the bread. Not on what's going else or mind. They're now looking at food. And another reason the disciples might have fallen asleep is they've just had a Passover meal, and it's multiple courses, multiple glasses of wine. I don't know about you, it might still be cold outside, but I think I'm losing as well. But that's besides the point. Anyway, it's when Jesus is breaking the bread, and you can imagine, he gets the bread and he breaks it, and then he gives it to them. What do they see? The nail prints in his hands. You know, you can't miss a big Roman nail going through. So as he broke the bread and how he said it, and there was the visual aid. And it probably says they were also present at the Lord's Supper and also other times when Jesus broke the bread. So the other thing is that in a praise mood, their eyes are concentrating on Jesus, and all of a sudden it becomes a living reality. And then they say, were not our hearts, well, Jesus, after he does this, he does that Houdini act, he disappears. And then you find later on, he comes through the walls to the disciples and disappears, comes in again and disappears. So it's Jesus and a resurrected body, but he just was there, and he said, didn't our hearts burn within us? After Jesus had left. And then these people who had this lonely walk from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and they must have been hungry, and the bread was the start of the meal. But then these people are so energized that they run back, or they go back to Emmaus straight, I said, after an hour. They must have had a little something. But they go back. And they've got enough energy to get back there. And when they get back there, they find the disciples already telling them that Jesus is alive. But the main thing is, think about the thanksgiving. When they gave thanks, their eyes were open. And when they were concentrating, not on the problem that Jesus was no longer with us, they were concentrating on what Jesus wanted to show them, to reveal himself to them. So for all of us, concentrate on what Jesus wants to show us, and in that way we'll know what his direction is for our lives.
When we were talking this afternoon about thanking for blessings, and we were saying about, think of one thing today, just now, that we can be thankful to God for, that he's blessed us with, and someone came up with the rain. So, and then we actually had quite a big discussion about the rain, places where there is no water, and the crops and the growth and the washing. but it was odd that after just one little concept, and it was a great day for weather, and you think, oh, you know, it's been wet all day. But by the end of it, they were talking about the drought in 1976, I think they said, So, yeah, if you actually think, before we were saying, think you go to bed tonight, that's when you pray, think of one or two blessings. Well, it took us half an hour to get through the blessing of rain and water, so you're quite right, Rodney. We have so many hundreds of blessings every day. So, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, at this Lenten time, that you have led us through the desert, into a time of renewal, that through reflection and prayer, we may have left behind some of the things that tie our spirits down and we have learned to be pilgrim people. In the frenzied busyness of this world, where we are often led astray by false desires and false beliefs, we spend in the study of your word, meditation and acts of service, and through them restore to us, Lord, the clearness of our seeing, so that we can be set free to share your generous love with all of those around us. We thank you, Lord, for always loving us, for guiding us, and always being there for us. And we thank you for all of the friendship and fellowship we have, and all that we share with others out in our communities. So we thank you for all of this, Lord. Amen.